Structurally, it does not belong in the Bill of Rights. I would strongly urge that this committee not pass this onto the floor.
Thank you. Other questions?
Chair.
Senator Shakrinsky.
Your arguments are interesting, but I don't really understand why the criminal defense bar is concerned about constitutional issues unless they affect your representation of your clients. You indicate on the one hand that the protection of society is in fact meted out in court every day, and I agree with that from my own experience as an attorney, and yet you are unwilling to let the Constitution reflect that. Your technical arguments that it doesn't belong there are not persuasive at all, so there must be some reason other than the one you've indicated as to why you are opposing the inclusion of the protection of society, which you feel is inherent in our criminal law system anyway. Why you oppose that inclusion in this particular portion, Section 15, Article 1 of the Constitution?
Well, we do take positions which do not simply address the interests of our clients. This, as I indicated, is a broader issue. It has to do with passing constitutional law, which really has no effect upon anyone. And quite frankly, I think that what this language amounts to is platitudes that will make, possibly, the legislature look good in the eyes of some people, but will have absolutely no effect. So why do it?
Let me ask you a question. Would you agree that principles other than merely the principle of reformation apply in criminal law situations, such as the protection of society?
I don't think I can disagree with that. Everyone who's testified says that it does, and it already does.
Well, so why shouldn't our Constitution reflect that?
Because the Bill of Rights is to protect individuals
and
against
groups of individuals you testified to, which includes society.
That's an awfully broad statement, I think. I don't think that groups of individuals as such are protected except possibly in the freedom of religion area. Not by the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, if you read through it, applies to the rights that each individual has under a given set of circumstances when government action comes into play, and often prohibits certain government action against individuals.
Senator Shoemaker.
Yeah, and when you're appearing in court to argue the case for a client to get as low a sentence as possible, have you ever used Section 15 in your argument in some fashion?
Oh, certainly, yes.
How have you used it?
You're asking me for a specific example. I'm sure that I've used it in the sense of arguing, for example, a good example would be arguing for probation for an individual and a rehabilitative program such as a drug or alcohol program as opposed to incarceration.
So you've pointed to the reformation language within the article as an argument for probation instead of incarceration?
Yes.
And if the article included protection of society as well as reformation specifically, that would make that argument a little bit more difficult, wouldn't it?
In a sense, it might. In another sense, I suppose that I could argue that by placing the person on probation and requiring that that person undergo a rehabilitative program, that we are protecting society from future criminal behavior.
Mm-hmm. But at least you'd have to factor protection of society into your argument. You couldn't talk about the Constitution referring only to reformation and not to punishment.
Senator Shoemaker, notwithstanding the absence of that language, that is always something that a lawyer before a judge in a criminal case has to discuss. We always discuss protection of society when we feel that a jail sentence is possible. Because, quite frankly, if we're trying to keep our client out of jail, we have to convince the judge that incarceration is not necessary to protect society.
One other point. You said that only Section 40, dealing with death penalty for aggravated murder, is concerned with something other than the rights of the individual. That is concerned with protection of society, if you will.
I said that.
I would call your attention to Section 14, dealing with bailable offenses, which, after providing that offenses except murder and treason shall be bailable, then says murder or treason shall not be bailable when the proof is evident or the presumption strong. So it appears that we have two other places within the Bill of Rights which deal with protection of society.
I would think
Section 15 would be consistent with those other two.
I can't disagree with that.
Okay.
I do still feel that there is too much of a tendency to want to amend our Constitution frivolously. And frankly, when there is not a problem been identified that's going to be resolved by amending the Constitution, it turns out to be a frivolous act. And quite simply, it's empty. There's nothing that's going to be served either to the public, to victims as individuals or as groups by amending the Constitution in this way.
Thank you.
Senator Springer.
Just briefly, could it be argued, counsel, that reformation in the sense that we believe an individual may be rehabilitated or somehow encouraged to abandon a life of crime or victimization, in fact, is protection of society?
Absolutely, and that's what I believe I alluded to earlier, that oftentimes judges, in sentencing people to prison or to jail, will say that this is the way to convince this individual or to convince other people in society that committing crimes is not appropriate and that this will serve to reform the person, or hopefully will.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I just note we pulled up the court volume case that I quoted earlier. Toole v. Gladden, 1963 case, unanimous decision of the Supreme Court, and I note that the author of that decision is an individual well known to us all, then Justice Arno Denneke, former Chief Justice, now retired senior judge. And I'd ask counsel perhaps make copy of that case for us.
Senator Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Kramer, I guess the way that you look at the Constitution and you say that it should not be amended frivolously, there is another view that it is, in fact, a dynamic document, and it does, that changing it, there's nothing so sacred about it that it can't be changed. I mean, there at least is another point of view on that issue.
Well, I would not disagree with that at all. I think that if there is a problem that's been identified that needs to be taken care of, and that the only manner of doing that is by amending the Constitution, that's completely appropriate. The difficulty I have in this situation, and which our association has, is that there has not been a problem identified which necessitates a change. And by proposing changes in this fashion, we, I think, foster the notion that the Constitution can be changed simply to satisfy people's feelings or their semantic interests, and with no real substantive change in the law envisioned.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Hill.
How would you feel about then removing the Reformation Clause?
I think that would be a very bad idea indeed.
Well, why?
Because
from what you say, it's about as superfluous as you say that this is.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think that the programs which we have designed through the Corrections Division, both in the probation departments and in the penitentiaries, are all aimed toward reformation. And we can all disagree on, maybe we won't disagree, maybe we'd agree on the degree to which they're successful. But the hope is that persons who are found guilty of crimes and are sentenced to either probation or incarceration will change their lifestyle.
Well, Mr. Kramer, what I'm saying is now we have a death penalty in this state, and that
Correct.
Pretty much does away with any kind of reformation right there. I mean, you put somebody to death.
Surely does.
You pretty much said we're not going to reform them.
And that's, I think, what Article 1, Section 40 says.
Right. And what I'm, and I guess what it boils down to is I do kind of take exception to you saying that we do, that this is introduced or to make us look good. I mean, there has really been a recognition of victims' rights that is at least a very legitimate movement, and that's part of what this is about. And so I guess I take exception. I'm the chief sponsor of this, and I take exception to you saying that this was done to make us look good. I think it's quite unfortunate that we have come to the point that we have in this state as far as crime goes. I think the people of this state at one time, the same people that reinstated the death penalty did away with it a while ago. But it does reflect that crime is a serious problem. I believe the number one problem in the state. And as Senator Grinsky mentions, this is the attitude. This is the way that it is now. I mean, we're concerned about protection. And I just don't see why the Constitution should not be able to reflect that this has become a priority, because the crime situation has simply gotten so serious.
Because one of the defects, I think, is in what you said, and that is that this is the way things are perceived now. 20 years from now, they may be perceived very differently, and we should not be changing our constitutional language merely to reflect how people feel today. And, you know, the death penalty is a real good example of that. It's come in and out in the state of Oregon a number of times, and a lot of that depends upon how people perceive the situation to be. I think our Constitution ought to reflect broader principles than simply how do people feel today.
Well, I'm sure, I won't beat this to death, but I mean, getting away from the criminal area, I mean, we had a certain feeling about gambling until somebody wanted a lottery,
right.
And then we changed the Constitution to permit it. Now, it is a dynamic document, and there's nothing that says that this document is fitted in stone. So I'm just saying that the Constitution does reflect attitudes of people, and they may change that. People may want to, if things get out of hand with gambling, they may want to come back. But this idea that it's somehow locked in stone and should not reflect current situations, at least that's not a universal feeling about the Constitution.
There are a lot of people signed up here, so
I'm going to be very brief. I don't buy your arguments at all. I think you're coming in here, you're saying one thing, when in fact what you're trying to do is just protect your client. You say that the court is meting out justice based on protection of society, and yet you don't want it included in the Constitution. You're very adamantly opposed to pulling reform out of there, but in fact you feel that basically your arguments are Section 15 doesn't need to exist. You and I both know that reformation is not a principle of criminal justice in this state at the present time. You made a statement that the Oregon State Penitentiary's programs are designed to reform. You haven't taken a tour of that place lately. They're warehousing people, and they're trying to keep them in there just as long as they can. We have mandatory sentencing guidelines that are designed to do one thing, protect society. That is where the state of Oregon is on crime and corrections. This Constitution needs to reflect that. I think you should take that message back to whoever sent you here, because that's what we're trying to do in the legislature today.
I appreciate what you say, Senator, but with respect to the sentencing guidelines, we know that those are all designed simply to allocate beds, and that they have nothing to do with crime and punishment.
Oh, I think
that's exactly what they have to do with.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Cohen.
Okay, let's move ahead then to SJR 10. And there are lots of folks signed up. We have about, let's do a half an hour. We'll mix people, so make sure that we have at least people from the people who proposed the constitutional amendment to come, at least take the first 30 minutes, then we'll have we'll mix up some other people, some people who've come here and opposed to it. Then we might take a break to take care of the other people who come on the other bill and come back to the folks that we haven't had a chance to take to hear. Some other committee members at 3:30 need to go to another committee, but we'll see where we go on that. So let's call up the people. Colleen, do you want to come up first? Is that it? I would appreciate. Well, you better, yes, get as many people as you in. Come on up, Senator Kenmer. And Mary Alice? Which other?
Kintai should be here any moment. He just walked across the way.
Yeah, let's go because we have a lot, to the extent to which we use up time, we need to reserve the time for the public.
I agree. I wish Senator Kintai were here, but he should be here in any moment, perhaps Representative Ford.
Why don't you go ahead and start, Mary Alice?
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate it, the members of the committee. This is an issue which I think probably every one of you will have or has had a problem with in your district. I know I have, and I continue to have. One of the problems that we have is what happens when one of these facilities does come into your area. And I will speak just from the experience of my area, although we do have one in Salem right now, next door to a little bakery, a conditori, and I will say that the problems that that facility has had, the bakery workers come in early in the morning and have to clean up the dirty underpants and the used condoms and drug paraphernalia and so on, and then clean off the walls of their building where it has been urinated on before the workers can go to work in the bakery in the morning. These are the kinds of things that are happening where these facilities exist in neighborhoods which are family neighborhoods. And I will speak to my district, and you'll love this. I drove through one day. In my area, they did not get an OLCC license. And why didn't they get an OLCC license? Well, they finally, after 5 months, decided not to because the heat was a little too hot. Some of the people involved in the hidden ownership happened to have convictions in Nevada for little crimes like prostitution and drugs and so on. It stayed open as a juice bar, but this still created problems because we had young people there between the ages of 18 and 21, and it badly affected some of the commercial establishments in the area. We had quite a few little family-type restaurants, including an Arctic Circle, and in the Arctic Circle, I have a letter, and I'll get it to you later. I don't have it today. Where the owner can testify that his business has been down over the winter while this place was opened, just as a juice bar, from between 25 and 30%, because a lot of the families, the people who came to sit there for hours at a time, eating, having their coffee, and so on, would not come in anymore. He also had problems getting help. He relied on high school girls as employees. And parents no longer would allow their high school age girls to work there. When I went in there one day, he was having a real problem because he had to close the place up at night himself at 10 o'clock because his manager is a woman and she had been harassed, as had a lot of the girls who worked for him, harassed by some of the patrons that came over for something to eat after they'd been at the tavern and then tried to make plays for the girls and get them to go with them. I myself was driving through the bank, which is next door one day. It's a drive-in. And as usual, I looked over to see how many cars were there, to see if they were really doing a business. And I had a real interesting experience. I looked and I looked, and there was no doubt in my mind, even though I could only see them from about here up, what the gentlemen sitting singly in various parked cars in the area were doing. They were masturbating. And there's no doubt in my mind that, I mean, when you see the body, upper body in a certain position, rocking back and forth. I was so dumbfounded that after I did my banking, I went around the bank again to go through again to see if I had actually seen what I had seen. I had. And I did find out from the bank that not only was this going on in broad daylight in Raleigh Hills quite frequently, but that there were drug deals that the girls that work in the drive-in, the teller window of the bank had been seeing. I think these establishments should be regulated. I think that local governments and the state should be able to draft legislation that would help to regulate them and make sure that they, if they are placed, they are not in places where there are school buses picking up kids, where young people are employed, and where it is a family neighborhood. I have for you some information that I got from legislative counsel on why we need a constitutional amendment and why it cannot be established, that we can do any kind of restrictions in any other way. And in this opinion, you will also see that there are states that do control this through zoning and through OLCC or through the use of liquor permits. You will find that our Constitution is more strict in its in the interpretation of the courts than the federal Constitution, and therefore what we are proposing in an amendment would be so that regulations can be made that would be in line with the U.S. Constitution and therefore would give the state of Oregon and its localities a chance to regulate them so that neighborhoods are not turned into strange places where families don't want to congregate. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator.
On your last point, do I understand correctly then that the reason that you wish a constitutional amendment is that it's your belief, based on the advice from the Legislative Council's office, that you could not achieve your objective through statutes or ordinances?
Yes, Senator. On the third page, it says, therefore, a state, if it concludes that topless dancing is conduct, can ban the activity. In Oregon, that same conduct is currently considered expression and cannot be banned. Nudity without dancing is considered conduct, not expression, and consequently cannot be prohibited where food and alcohol are served. That was the case of City of Portland versus Darrington.
So if there was legal opinion that you respected that held or believed that you could regulate nude dancing through statute of ordinances, then you would prefer to proceed that way than through the constitutional amendment?
Absolutely, but it has been tried by local governments all over this state for quite a few years, and it just doesn't seem to be done. And on the last page, you'll see that the U.S. Supreme Court has expressly stated that nude dancing is not without its First Amendment protections from official regulation. However, a state, if it concludes that topless or nude dancing is conduct, can ban the activity. It's the difference between conduct and expression. And according to the U.S. Supreme Court, you can regulate conduct, but not expression.
I might call your attention and suggest that you perhaps confer with legal counsel regarding a recent decision of our Supreme Court, City of Portland versus Tidyman, an opinion by Justice Lindy in 1988, which was concerned with zoning regulations of what are called adult bookstores. And the particular regulation that was struck down in that case was struck down because there was no finding about what the harmful effects were from those bookstores in that place. And Justice Lindy made a point at the conclusion of his opinion to state, this is regarding a very similar situation, that if the regulation identified the harmful effects and then was regulating that, in other words, if you could, in your case, identify what harmful effects come from a nude dancing establishment within a neighborhood, that would be a sufficient basis under the Oregon Constitution to prohibit those places by statute or ordinance. And that is the opinion of Justice Lindy of our Supreme Court.
Senator, there's only two problems I have with that, and one is that is a particular case on another issue. We would have to take this to court. This would be to go to the Supreme Court, an extremely expensive thing to do. And secondly, it still doesn't get rid of the problem of expression when it comes to dancing.
Well, if I heard your testimony correctly, the reason that you do not, that a community would want to regulate against nude dancing is because of the effect that has within the neighborhood, that the offensive conduct that occurs outside the tavern or the restaurant, right? Because of
Correct.
The people going there for that purpose, they're incited to behavior which is against the public order. And that's your reason. Or is it that you are against it because you think it's an offensive expression?
I think the former.
Okay.
And I also consider it an offensive expression in a neighborhood,
okay.
in a community area where there is influence. We have too much influencing young people in a negative way today. And having the patrons, it's not the nude dancing that is the problem. It's the patrons. And it's the patrons and what their expression is upon leaving the establishment.
Their behavior.
That's correct.
And the effect of that on the neighborhood.
That's correct.
Now, you're not doing it just because you think it's inappropriate that people look at nude dancing, I hope.
No. No, sir.
Okay, well, I...
Jeff.
I guess I would suggest that we have good authority in the state through this recent state Supreme Court opinion that ordinances getting at the offensive conduct, I mean, striking down nude dancing establishments because of the offensive conduct that it inspires within the neighborhood would stand constitutional scrutiny. So you could just go ahead and enact an ordinance.
Well, Mr. Chair, it was my understanding that they had tried in several, I can't
Not
cite
in
them.
Oregon.
I think there's people
so.
Who will speak to that later.
Well,
yes, I'd want to, Jack.
I simply wanted to let the committee members know that there are copies of the Tidy Man decision in your files, as well as a couple other decisions I think you might find interesting. I'd also like to point out to the committee, so we're not laboring under any misconceptions, that the Oregon Supreme Court has never held that nude dancing is expression. The Court of Appeals has. That specific question has not been before the Oregon Supreme Court.
Yes.
A question for any of the sponsors up here or for anyone who's to testify later. As is indicated, I'm a sponsor on this, but when I agreed to sponsor it, I told the folks that did not imply I was necessarily supporting the measure, but I recognize this was an issue that we needed to discuss, and I think we're going to benefit from this discussion. My two questions briefly are, what's the definition of nude? Because when we're amending the Constitution, we need to be extremely precise, and we're going to invite all kinds of litigation that we are concerned about, and I don't find a definition of nude, and nude to you may be different from nude to me or somebody out on the street. And secondly, it appears when we speak in terms of public places and places of business, what about a private club? What about the Elks Hall? Those are questions I hope people can address. The sponsors or others who may be testifying.
Okay, thanks, Senator Springer. Anyone else comment for Mary Alice? Senator Kintock.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chairman, and for the opportunity to come here and testify on this bill. I'm not going to go into great detail about the need and the effects in the neighborhood, since you'll be hearing that from other people, and I won't take the time. I just want to point out how this came about. I was first contacted last summer by citizens in Sandy, who have since become the organized citizens of Sandy, telling me about the potential problem there, and I explained to them how we might address it after talking with our own legislative council and finding out that the only way, according to them, was that there would have to be a constitutional amendment to make legislation permissive. And I think the key point, the strong point of this is that it is a local option deal. And
it just simply permits a local entity to regulate it or prohibit if they so desire. I'm not trying to tell the people in a certain town that they can or can't, but if the people in that community wish to regulate it, I have a strong feeling, and others do too, that they should be permitted to do so. And I can't see what can be more fair than this than to allow a community to express the standards that that community holds and a community next to it down the road a few miles. If they want to do something different, they will still be free to do so. I might add that a great number of city councils and organizations in the metropolitan area have endorsed this. And then I'd also like to say that we propose to change this wording slightly. I have handed to the assistant here our amendments dash one, which would change it to read, notwithstanding the limitations of section 8 and 20 of this article, cities, counties, or the state have the authority to regulate activity or expression characterized by an emphasis on nudity to the same degree that regulation is permissible under the United States Constitution.
Okay. So, I want to stop you, and as near as I can figure, the only thing in the words in the U.S. Constitution